We're going to have a short reading which you can find in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, and beginning at verse 4. Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 4, and after verse 4 we're going to jump straight to verse 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. This is the word of the Lord. Let's take up our offering. Going to bring our second reading to us, which you can find in John chapter 6.
This is the word of the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 35 and then 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And then verse 41. At this, the Jews began grumbling about him, saying, because he said, I am the bread come down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Thanks be to God for his word.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes when lessons are read in church, I think, what on earth went before it? Because so often they start with, after this, when it done so and so, this happened, and I'm distracted. I'm thinking, what was it went before? And so what they're actually reading doesn't really register so much. And I have a feeling, in a way, the reading, the second reading we had tonight, this morning rather, shows up my state of mind, doesn't it? That was, in a sense, in the same sort of way. We've got to get the context right, because then we start to understand what's happening more clearly. What had happened just before this, that Jesus had fed a large crowd of people, and naturally they went looking for him. And as Jesus said, it was said in their gospel reading, you're coming for the wrong reasons. Don't go after the food that spoils, but go for the food that endures for eternal life. And then he went on to talk about the work of God, and that's what they had to do. They must do the work of God. Now immediately people say, well, what is the work of God? Is that all the activities we get up to when we come along to a church fellowship and the church activities? Is that the work of God? Well, according to the readings that we've just had, it's nothing to do with that. It's a matter of believing. Jesus said it was not activity, but believing. And any activity that there is flows from the believing. And then the crowd started to argue again. Do something, and then we'll believe. And, as we heard, they brought up the business about the manna provided by God when the Israelites were in the desert. And they were basically saying to him, well, beat that. And then Jesus reminded them of the truth. The manna was God's provision for them at that time for their journey. But what Jesus was actually talking about was eternal life-giving bread from God. So we've got a terrific contrast here. One was, in a sense, the physical. The other is the spiritual and the eternal. And naturally, of course, they wanted it. Rather like the woman at the well at Sychar. Forevermore, give me this living, this water, so I won't have to come here and keep drawing it. She got the whole end of the stick the wrong way round. And then we get to the first reading, the first verse of the reading we had, where Jesus states, I am the bread of life. And then we get the thing in more into context. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Who believes in me will never be thirsty. And wow, didn't the grumbling set in then? Who does he think he is? And they started quoting his family. They're here with us. We know them. He can't possibly be from heaven. And Jesus was quite blunt. Stop grumbling. And he went straight to the point with some home truths. And they're just as valid for us today. It is the Father who draws people to Jesus. And we see that in the fulfilling of many prophecies. It's stated also that the Son will raise up the believer in the last day. Also that Jesus is the only one who has seen the Father. That's underlying and, in a sense, underpinning his origins. And believers in him will have everlasting life. But then Jesus takes them back, and us, to the manna during the Exodus. The manna was God's total provision for the people for all those years. It was for a journey that they made physically. And they all died. But then Jesus goes on, using that same analogy of bread and the provision, to say that the bread I'm talking about is from heaven. And it gives eternal life. And so we're looking for a totally different concept here. Jesus is saying, I am that bread. He's saying that because he came from heaven, and therefore it underlines the fact of his origins. He came from heaven. Partake of me, he says. Let me live within you, and you will live forever. And so, coming to Jesus relieves that deep hunger. Believing in Jesus relieves that deep thirst. Now, I think we're all pretty familiar with bread. And this features very much in our reading, doesn't it? But it's far more than just loaves of bread. It's not just praying for a van load of Warburtons to come along. And we use the word breadwinner. Now, that doesn't mean that that particular person supplies piles of bread, and that's all. Breadwinner means far more than that. It's everything that is necessary for life. It includes other foods, of course. It includes shelter. So we've got to get a broader idea of it. Bread symbolises food in general, all that's necessary for life. It speaks of the basic provision to sustain life. So if we get those ideas of bread into our minds, I think we start to expand it a little bit more and understand what Jesus is saying more. So Jesus is pointing beyond this life. He's promising to what is necessary for eternal life. Earthly things, earthly achievements, earthly attainments have got absolutely no currency in heaven. What does is what we receive from Jesus, and only that. As we know, dollars are not currency in the UK. And that's something we can understand quite well. The only currency that is of value in heaven and for eternity is what Jesus gives to us. And there's no exchange rate applicable. We can't trade off one against the other. We receive the heavenly currency when we believe in Jesus, when we accept what Jesus gives for us and gives to us. And when we think about the communion service, that's very much focused, isn't it, on bread. It's a central part of it. It's one of the central elements. And as we receive it, we are reminded that this bread is Jesus' body that is given for the life of the world. And we acknowledge it also by holding out our empty hands, because we've got nothing in them to sustain us for eternity. But the bread of life is that sustenance. We wait to be filled with the life-giving bread that came down from heaven. And we're also reminded that to do the work of God is first and foremost to believe and not to do. We receive what God gives to us. We have got nothing, but God fills us. And this, I think, is something we must always remember whenever we celebrate communion, that God has totally provided for us. Forget about manna, that ceases, that is, spoils, it's gone. But the bread of life that Jesus gives is forever. God the Father sent down Jesus to lift us up. Jesus, is the bread. And we can all see that when we come to receive communion. It's Jesus' body broken for us. That's part of the symbolism. It's giving us all we need for our spiritual lives, for eternity. And nothing else can provide for that. No matter what we try to do. We're not supposed to be doers, but beings. And then there's the wine. It reminds us that Jesus' life was poured out for us. He gave himself for us, that we might have the joy of eternity. He poured it out in love, and we receive it by faith. It's absorbed into us. And it's something that reminds us that we need Jesus, that he supplies all our needs. He said, come to me and you'll never be hungry. Believe in me, you'll never be thirsty. We're not talking, of course, about the physical things, but by the things of the Spirit that constantly are there before us. And these symbols of bread and wine are not just a memorial, not just a reminder of what happened on the cross. It is the means whereby the achievement of what Jesus did on the cross is made real and made available to us. And as we think of some of those very important words in that reading that we had, and also when we have the communion services, it says, come. It says, believe. Draw near. Receive. Because, as Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen.